Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Thalidomide, which only recently has been denounced as the worst medical disaster in history, is now being hailed as a possible treatment for cancer. In Israel, Mrs. Bluma Bercy, a 78-year-old widow, developed a lump on her hip the size of a grapefruit. It was removed and found to be malignant. Later, she developed severe pain in her abdominal area and coughed up blood, an indication that the cancer was fast spreading to other parts of her body. Morphine lost its power, and doctors gave her only 10 days to live. Then her son-in-law visited her, a Russian-born doctor, and he prescribed thalidomide, hoping it might prove to be a better sedative. After her first pill, she had her first good night's sleep in weeks. Next day, she talked coherently. In a month, she was able to eat by herself. Today, she is hale and hearty. What happened, asked the doctors. Is thalidomide, which caused deformity in babies, a cure for cancer? Or could it have been this mother's faith in her son-in-law doctor that brought about a biological reaction, wherein the body chemistry suddenly threw off this cancerous invasion, and she was cured? There have been many other instances recorded where those dying in the last stages of cancer have been similarly cured. But the greatest of all cures are those brought about by placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the promises of the Word of God. To live in sin, one can expect sickness and disease to spring forth from such prodigal living. For the Scriptures warn, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Did you hear it? To sow to the flesh, to indulge in overeating and drinking, to dissipate in the lusts and habits of life, is to invite corruption. In the list of suggestions given by the American Cancer Society, the first of these is avoid overeating. Research on rats has shown that if their diets are cut in half, instead of letting them eat as they please, they develop less cancer. Why is it that 40 million Americans now living will develop cancer sometime during their lifetime, with 26 million of us dying from the disease? Could it be the result of overindulging? Could it simply be the judgment of Almighty God? Take the account of the children of Israel. You will recall how they complained to Moses because they were getting tired of the manna the Lord provided daily and they wanted meat. So the Lord was grieved with their murmuring and complaining and sent them quail. We read of the great abundance of quail that the Lord did provide so that it became loathsome unto them. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, we read, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Could it be that cancer is one of the curses upon us in this age of lust and overindulgence? When there are hungry millions starving around the world, we are not only having enough to eat, but we eat too much. The weight-reducing pills being sold today are a testimony to our gluttonous. If we had more of the love of God in our hearts, we would do without and send more to the needy and to the hungry. If you agree, say amen. The Bible says, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The Word of God also makes it plain that the rich stand to lose their riches. In James chapter 5 we read, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries that shall come upon you. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton, or have indulged yourselves. Then we read this amazing verse, and I'm translating directly from the Greek. Your gold and silver has been eaten away, and their canker, for a testimony against you shall be, and shall eat your flesh as fire. Did you hear it? Because of pleasure, because of soft living, we read their canker, and this word is a word for cancer, shall be a testimony against you, and shall eat your flesh as fire. The word canker is in reality a word meaning eating up, a word used for cancer. And the Bible says because of our failure to share our goods, we're going to one day weep and howl and lament our actions. The poor will rise up and invade the rich, so that they stand to lose all that they have. And besides, on account of pleasureful living, their bodies will be eaten up with cancer, which will devour flesh as it were fire. Dr. John Heller, president of the National Cancer Institute, has declared, "If we could find just one cause of one cancer and show how it operates, we would have our foot in the door of mankind's most terrible killer. With all of our scientific knowledge, we still know very little about the cure for cancer. This last year, an army of 2 million mice were used for research purposes, but our scientists are only more and more baffled to discover what has good results in animals does not seem to be effective in man. Oh, beloved, cancer may be a judgment of Almighty God upon us, descending on us because of our selfishness, our lust, and our sin. Lung cancer, for instance, is increasing faster than any other form of cancer, and this year will take the lives of 35,000 Americans, mostly men. Why? Dr. Heller states, statistical evidence supported by laboratory findings has shown that excessive cigarette smoking can be a cause of lung cancer, and that the greater the consumption of cigarettes, the greater the risk. In view of these findings, why would a person continue to smoke? Besides, there are scriptures which warn that to sow to the flesh is to reap corruption. And again we are told, he that defileth the body, him will God destroy. Could very well be that on account of sin and lust, we are reaping the plague of cancer, devouring our flesh as it were fire, with no known cure except surgery and radiology, which are only stopping the malignancy. To the man taken in sexual lust, the Apostle Paul committed him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Could it be that this man was so given over to sexual desire that ultimately he was eaten up by cancer or some similar disease? That is, unless he repented of this sin. And so it is, my friends, to sow to lust and habit which we aren't willing to call sin, finds many whose bodies are being destroyed by corruption, by disease, by cancer. And it's time we turn from sin, from lust, from intemperance. It's time we repent of our needless hoarding of wealth, and begin sharing with those in need. When John the Baptist urged the people of his day to repent, they asked him, saying, "What shall we do?" We read, he answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Well, if we are living for God, if living pure and holy lives, certainly we have nothing to fear. The Apostle John declares, if we are born of God and we keep ourselves in him, that wicked one toucheth us not. I confess to you in the authority of the Word of God that if you are born again and living for God, the devils cannot touch you except you yield to the enticement of sin and lust, or except it be in God's permissive will. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the right in the name of Jesus to rebuke the devil and his oppressions, even cancer, or whatever disease he may force upon you. It must leave your body when God demands that it must go. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Did you hear it? May I inquire, is Christ Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your every desire to him? Is the Holy Spirit enthroned within? If so, you have an inner fortification that no demon power, not even cancer, can defy. The essential nature of cancer is said to be, by the experts, a growth of cells in revolt. Normally within the body there are hormones and enzymes working together in a delicate harmony of checks and balances. But when these abnormal cells begin to form, they soon snowball, and unless destroyed by the body's chemical activity, the result is cancer in one of its many forms. According to Dr. George Moore, cancer research chemist, every bird, beast, and man produce some such cells at all times, but the body's defenses are usually strong enough to destroy them. Oh, think, friends, of having the blessed Holy Spirit dwelling within our bodies. Paul says of the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. Yes, God Himself dwelling within the believer by His Spirit, upon the believer's willingness to conform to the perfect will of God, will bring about not only our preservation but cure, should the body be attacked by this enemy. To His disciples our Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, even cancer. When Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died, by His stripes we were healed, says Peter. And I might add, even of cancer. As the psalmist declares, He healeth all our diseases. There are those who fail to see the relationship between sickness and Satan, between disease and the devil. But Luke, who was a doctor, related how when Jesus was on earth, He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If sickness and disease are of the devil as servants of God, we have every right to drive out these infirmities in the name of Jesus. We are told that cancer demons are among the easiest to cast out. As Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered and died from the roots, so cancerous growths can be cursed. I recall going to a barber shop and noticed the barber had some growths on his finger. In the process of cutting my hair, I was nicked by the scissors. Later, I noticed similar growths appearing around my ear and upon my forehead. I prayed for the Lord to heal these growths, as He had healed me of so many other illnesses and infirmities, but they continued only to grow, to spread and multiply. Then I heard someone say that for cancer we must not only pray for healing, but must curse these growths, these fast-multiplying cells, in the name of Jesus. And so that very night, as I looked into the mirror and placed my fingers on these growths, I said, I curse you growths in the name of Jesus, wither and die. The next day, as I looked into the mirror, I saw scabs forming on some of these growths, and soon they had all completely disappeared. Ah, beloved, that's the authority God has given to us in the name of Jesus. So let us exercise our rights as His redeemed children. Our conclusion, then, it pays to live for Jesus Christ, to sacrifice and give as did the early disciples, to seek the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, and through the name of Jesus be set free of oppressions of the devil, including cancer. For cancer is an enemy, defeated at Calvary. Amen. Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.